Esmeralda.
Hi, Hannah.
I have missed your giggle.
Aw, thanks.
Hannah Stanley, Esmeralda Leon here. Today, I like saying Leon.
Go for it.
Leon, Esmeralda Leon.
Go on.
Esmeralda Leon. Hannah Stanley, we are with you. This is what we are referring to lovingly as the power hour of Hannah and Esmeralda.
It's very appropriate considering everyone's celebrating.
It's an hour.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Liquids.
We would normally be with you until 3 o'clock, except Northwestern.
Yeah,
go
good
Cats.
For them.
Go Cats.
It's a good way to not be on air, or a good reason.
Sure.
Because they are winning.
Hey, if Dave Bennett wants airtime, I would give it to him, especially for this.
And the Cats.
Go Cats. Yeah. Did you happen to watch the game last night?
No.
I did.
I watched part of it because I was in a bar and they were playing it. And then I went, oh, our show's going to be short.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
I was like, good for them.
Yes. Good for them. Question mark. Brad Hall and Julia Louis-Dreyfus were in the audience.
Oh, are they Northwestern alum?
They're both alum, and their son plays for them.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a little thing.
Another reason to watch.
So I don't know if you are aware, but it's St. Patrick's Day observed.
Yeah.
Or as a Facebook friend of mine.
Well, it's the week long.
Yeah, a Facebook friend of mine referred to this today as the Straight Pride Parade.
That's quite a...
It's incredibly appropriate.
Yeah. Did you have trouble getting in?
Nope.
I was frightened.
Lower whacker, baby.
Yeah, I was scared I was going to get stuck somewhere.
I might have left at 10
I left,
for a 1 o'clock show time.
Yeah, I left fairly late
with
all of this going on, but I made it in. And it was pretty quiet.
Did you take the L?
Yes.
Okay, how
and
was
it
the
was
L?
Not bad. There wasn't that many dummies. And then I usually...
No, because they're all here.
Right, they're already here, thank goodness.
Yeah, because the parade is active right now.
Yes. And I luckily... Well, and... I'm just an angry lady when I'm walking the streets and I run it. Like I was walking in through a revolving door and someone was going so slow and I just push you. So don't be in a revolving door, not revolving, because I will shove you. I will shove the revolving door because I need to get places.
Yeah. I used to be an angry commuter and then I moved to the suburbs and I just realized I can't do anything about it.
No, I'm still angry. Even when I go home to Joliet. And I'm in a car driving or anything. I get real mad. Real angry.
Really? Well, here's the thing that made it better. Because I'm a little afraid of you right now. There are Sprinkles cupcakes.
Yeah. That'll soothe the beast.
The fine people from Sprinkles were kind enough to send over. And this is me yesterday. There's only 3 of us. Mm-hmm. Don't go crazy. That was what I wrote in an email to the PR person.
This isn't crazy. 2 boxes.
2 dozen.
It's a lot.
There's 2 dozen cupcakes. Here's what is wonderful about this. This weekend, if you are by a Sprinkles cupcake location, they have a green velvet, which is just this weekend. Next weekend, actually, the 17th through the 19th, just that weekend. So next weekend. 1 weekend only, classic red velvet cake flaunts a new hue. Share some with your friends or they'll be green with envy. And they have a little green circle thing. Online. We've posted pictures online. There's a video.
Very nice.
There's a video of Matt Bubala taking one, which I offered him.
I don't know why.
He would have taken one anyway. There's also March 1st through 31st, and this is the one that I am all about. Yeah. Irish chocolate cupcake.
Mm.
Belgium dark chocolate cake topped with a Bailey's Irish cream cheese frosting.
Come on now.
Boom.
What?
I know.
Thank you, Sprinkles.
That's the one where there's a gazillion gone, because everybody's like, Bailey's?
You know what? If everyone else is getting lit, why can't we?
Yeah. they're very tasty and delicious. So have yourself one or 4 of those and then you'll be in a better mood. You won't be so angry. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you are wanting to participate. And believe me, you're going to want to. Coming up, we have Dr. John Duffy, who I adore. Wonderful man, great host, has a podcast that you can listen to on our station as well. And then he's on with Bill and Wendy every other week.
Nice.
Yeah, Dr. John Duffy. And now we're going to have him on. He's calling in just a minute. And he is talking to us about the 7 things you should stop fighting about, according to couple therapists.
Yeah, I'm going to pay attention.
Because you're moving in with the man.
Yes. And I like to bicker.
Do you?
Just like silly things. But it's always like in the end, we just go, you're dumb. It's like, silly.
We're not bickery people, my husband and I.
I'm just in nature. Like with my family, too, we bicker a lot about just not even anything important.
Well, you bicker with people who are going slowly through revolving glass doors.
Just shove them.
I can hear you calling me.
Irish tenor Anthony Kearns. Were you here the night that I interviewed him?
I believe not.
He came in studio. He's a handsome and kind man.
And then did he sing to you?
He didn't.
Did he at least sing?
I listened to him sing this. Well, yeah, I mean, he's Irish, so everything is semi-melodic anyway.
Come on.
Yeah.
You just have him read out of the dictionary, I would listen to that.
But, I mean, you kind of... I don't want to stereotype.
Okay.
But, like, every once in a while you think he's an Irish tenor. I don't know, maybe he's kind of has an ego.
No.
Nicest man.
Oh, I like to hear that.
Yeah, he was like, oh, Hannah, it's so delightful. Anyway, you can find the podcast at WGNradio.com, where you can find all of our fine podcasts, including one hosted by Dr. John Duffy called Undue Anxiety. And we are so happy to have him on the phone with us right now. John, how are you?
I'm good, Hannah. Good to talk to you.
Good. Esmeralda is here with me as well.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Esmeralda. How are you?
I'm good.
See, I just go for the John, and she's really appropriate and says, hello, Doctor. Hello,
he's
doctor.
A doctor.
He is.
He went to school a long time for that.
He did, as far as we know.
And a long time ago.
So what we're talking about right now are seven things you should stop fighting about, according to couple therapists. You know, John, I've been married for pushing 11 years now. I was with my husband. We dated for, I don't know, 3 or so years prior to that. Esmeralda, how long have you and the boyfriend been together?
It's going to be... a year and a few months.
Okay.
And we're moving in together.
You're moving in together.
Yes.
It's a big step.
Very much so.
So, John, what are typically the things that couples are fighting about aside from money?
Yes. I mean, and there are so many nitpicky little things.
I lost you, John. Okay.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you went away. You said nitpicky little things, and then your wife decided to be annoyed with you, and she clipped the phone. Tell Julie to leave you alone.
Yeah, right. So there's these nitpicky things we fight about that too often kind of escalate into what feels like bigger problems than they ought to be, and sometimes land people in offices like mine, you know, where it's wholly unnecessary if you communicate well on the front end.
Okay. So the things that we're looking at in this article, and this is stuff that Esmeralda likely does on her... Do you have a roommate now? Or
no.
Or do you live by yourself?
I have to live alone.
Okay. And yet you're moving in with a boyfriend.
It's going to work out. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a different... I can't live with strangers.
Okay, I get
this. People that I...
Well,
know,
but some of these things you will do already on your own, and some of that will be an adjustment. Taking out the trash, you already do that.
Actually, he does it for me.
This won't
be
a problem.
He comes over and he just does it.
Wow.
Because I'm like, can you take it out, please?
Yeah,
he does
no.
it for me.
See, I always did that in my apartment because the trash chute was like right there.
Mine's kind of, I have to walk out and it's a bit of a hassle and then I let it pile up.
I think it's the tone. How did you ask that? Do that question
can you
again?
Can you take out the garbage?
Uh-huh. Look at that.
That's gonna wear. Making plans. And this one I can see because I feel like I've communicated very well. Like, honey, today we have to do such and such. It's on the calendar. There's a schedule. Yep. There's a such and such. And my husband goes, why didn't you tell me this? I thought we were going to. And I'm like, no. So this one is just the one that I think my husband and I bicker about more than anything is not appropriate listening to each other. And I'm guilty of it as well.
I think that happens more often than we like to think. And it's incomplete communication, you know, like when it comes to making plans or even taking out the trash, like clarifying, like, okay, whose role is this going to be? Instead of just seething about, like, you know, the fact that he or she is not doing what we wish they would do, you know, like none of us are mind readers. Mm-hmm. And the more we kind of communicate fully, the more smoothly our relationships tend to go. But when we don't, we end up bickering and then we end up talking badly about our significant other to other people. And things devolve rapidly from there sometimes.
Now, when you're in the situation of the bickering, should you just be the better person and, like, calm down?
Always.
We're going to, okay, I will take out the garbage or I will go do what you want me to do.
I think yes, in the heat of the moment, mm-hmm. to be the bigger person and to be willing to say, you know what, I'll do it this time, but we need to talk about this, because at some point you need a reset discussion that clarifies things. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in that position again when the garbage has to go out in a couple of days, or, you know, when the next plan has to be made. And so at some point there has to be some degree of clarification. But absolutely, Esmeralda, I like that point. Like, you know, I think if you are willing to mm-hmm. be the bigger person, you kind of short circuit what could be quite ugly between the two of you.
However, that's slightly double-edged, because if you view yourself as being the bigger person, mm-hmm. then you're not really like evening the playing field. You're just feeling superior.
And also, would there be a problem if every time you give in?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like every time you're like, okay, we won't fight about this, and I'll just do whatever.
I'll do it for the sake of the relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And oftentimes there's somebody who's playing that role and can do it for a period of time, and then they blow. And then they lose it, and that's when things become a problem. That's why I think it's really important with all of these things to communicate as fully as you can ahead of time. Just like, you know, okay, I will be the one every week to take out the trash, or we're going to take turns. Hannah, you were talking about making plans.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exception, I think, because I think oftentimes one person or the other tends to take the lead on that and is better at it.
Right.
But I think it's important to communicate like that. Okay, you're going to do that. Like, Julie is way better at making plans for us than I am. And so I am willing to give her that role happily, you know, but we've talked about it.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting to me because with the plans, especially, so many things are kind of set in stone because of the children. But for us, it was like we were good at working as a team before we had the kids. And now I'm just like, okay, you know, Friday is gymnastics. We can't do that on Friday, or we have to adjust this. So that is a challenge, though, in going, no, I told you this. I told you this three times. Checked with you. Checked. You said said your schedule was free. said you were wide open. A little confused.
More communication. That's the key.
Yeah. And like we have it with the kids where we have the chore chart. Like it's your thing. You got to pick up this. But what's interesting with the kids, and John, you've met both of my children. There are things that. And it's not even treating them unfairly. It's that, like, certain things, like Preston is my daughter. She always feeds the dog. That's her thing, because that's more of an age-appropriate mm-hmm. thing. There are some things that I don't mind doing. I don't mind doing laundry at all. So I just kind of take that on as my own.
Okay.
So if there's other stuff that, like, you don't care. Like, if you leave and you always go past the garbage, you, Esmeralda, should take the stupid garbage out, because it's right there. But if he goes out the front door, then maybe not.
True.
Normally, I would let the music play longer, but we don't have much time. Hannah Stanley and Esmeralda
get to
Leon.
Work.
Yes, we do. Although I do like the Maroon 5 song. John Duffy, Dr. John Duffy, joining us on the phone. We are talking about 7 things you should stop fighting about now with your couple, in couples.
Yes.
And I mean, honestly, in families, not just in couples.
Oh, for sure. Completely.
Dr. John Duffy is the voice of reason on ways we can handle this. John, one of the things that's on here is laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Esmeralda has a very bizarre way of handling this, in my opinion.
We do our own laundry. I do mine. I do my pile. He does his own pile.
Got it. Yeah.
That's fine, right?
I worked with a lot. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Thanks,
separating
Doc.
The chores, there's clarity in that, Esmeralda, so I kind of like that. But to Hannah's point right before the break, there's no need for anybody to be deliberately miserable. So if one of you doesn't mind doing the laundry, then, you know, then split the chores. Okay, I'll take out the garbage, you do the laundry, and try to make it fair and equitable. But no, I find nothing wrong with that, and it sounds like your contract is clear, and that, to me, is the most important thing.
Now, let me ask you this. What if they're not good at it?
Laundry?
Yeah. Because
but
my
it's
boyfriend.
His laundry.
No, but so this is the where I'm going. My boyfriend is awful at doing the dishes. So I never let him do the dishes.
How? How are you bad? How can
he
you
just
be
leaves
bad?
It all like stuff still oily and there's thing. And I'm just what is going on? That's... Why don't you know how to wash the dishes?
I think he's deliberately doing it. So you do them.
So I do. And he'll ask, he'll be like, I can wash those. I'm like, no, they're mine.
Right.
It's fine. Right. I can do it.
I don't want food poisoning.
That's true. But what about that? Like when they just can't do it right.
Yeah, no, I get it. And we all have our standards and things. And, you know, it might be worth a conversation talking about like, okay, this is how I would like this to be done. But I think if you dwell on that too much, you right. eventually get, well, then I'm just not going to do that, you know? So at some point there has to be room for compromise. You know, I've had conversations in my office about how the dishwasher gets loaded and, you know, he doesn't load the dishwasher properly. And I think when we get too nitpicky about things, eventually any reasonable person is going to throw in the towel and say, you know what? Why don't you just do this yourself then? And we want to avoid that, right? Because then we're arguing, even if we think we're not arguing.
I'm not going to say my parents are passive aggressive, but I will say that my dad would unload the dishwasher and reload it his way.
Oh boy. My mom does that.
And my mom would get annoyed. And I was like, what do you care? It's getting done.
My mom, no, but control. Because there's a right way.
Some of us are control freaks. And if you feel like that's you, then take that chore. You know, like if you're a fastidious dishwasher person or a super tidy laundry person, let that be your gig instead of setting your significant other up. You know, it's effectively what it is. And it just doesn't work very effectively.
All right. The one I want to make sure we touch on is hogging the covers, which is so not my issue. It's the snoring.
Do you wake him up if he snores?
There is a lot that happens. There is a kicking. Oh. There is a shoving. There is a please go into the guest room. We moved into a house with a guest room for a reason. Here's the thing that's interesting, though. I had flu this past week. Mm-hmm. I had full-on influenza. And he wisely didn't want it.
Right.
Went and slept in the guest room. Mm-hmm. We both loved it. We loved not sleeping in the same room. And so last night he was like, all right, so you're feeling better. I guess I'll sleep in here. And I go, okay, well, as long as you think that's okay.
You should be like, I think I slept in the
room. And he goes, well, I got to tell you, it was kind of nice sleeping by myself. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Yes, it's awesome sleeping by ourselves.
I have heard. And doctor, I don't know, is it good to sleep? I've heard that, like, you know, some people are like, I just need to be by myself. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I wasn't offended. I can sleep. I didn't care. It was
perfectly fine.
I get it. In my experience, I would argue that it is not the healthiest precedent to set unless somebody's not well. Mm-hmm. But I like to hear that couples are sleeping in the same room together. Yet I recognize that sometimes we have different preferences when it comes to cold or warmth and covers and things. The most clever thing I've come across with regard to this whole thing, it came from my wife, who recognized that I like to have the weight of a lot of covers on me, and she would just as soon sleep under a sheet. And she brought a couple of blankets in from a different room that I could use on my side of the bed. And I've actually offered this idea to couples in my office as, you know, like a reasonable compromise. You know, like everybody can find a way to be comfortable. It might look a little funky from somebody walking in, but hopefully that doesn't happen a whole lot.
All right. So basically open communication and really kind of nipping this before it becomes an issue.
Those are the keys for sure. Yes.
All right. And also
communication, the better.
You need a weighted blanket. They sell them and they're amazing.
I've heard I need a weighted blanket. I'm going to work on that.
All right. Amazon.com. Hannah Stanley, Esmeralda Leon, Dr. John Duffy. You can hear him. When are you on with Bill and Wendy?
I am on every other Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, no. But okay. The following Wednesday, yes.
Excellent. So we will hear you the week after. And then every week you put on a new podcast, Undo Anxiety, which you can find in iTunes. You can find all over Undo Anxiety, spelled like with D-U-E. Undo it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It's unnecessary. John, thank you so much for your time. I want to zig a zig.
What is that?
I don't know.
But you want to do it.
I totally want to zig a zig.
Is that like twerking?
Oh, God, I hope there you not. Go. You know what? I remember in the video they used to do this thing with their legs. Looked very Charleston-esque. Like the dance.
We'll be maybe pulling that up during the break. Esmeralda Leon is the voice that you just heard. Yes, Hannah Stanley is the voice you're hearing now. Welcome. Welcome to the Hannah and Esmeralda Power Hour.
Mm-hmm.
We will be with you straight up until 2 o'clock, and we will turn you over to Northwestern pregame. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. They're playing Wisconsin in Big Ten tourney action.
Very nice.
Yes, leading up to NCAA. March Madness.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
It's their first time? No.
It's been
a while.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Hey, when was the last time you flew?
A couple weeks ago.
Where'd you go?
Mexico.
Nice.
Mexico.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that I followed you along or followed along with you. That sounds like a stalking.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Friendly stalking. If that's a thing.
Facebook stalking is a little bit different than other stalking.
Go.
All right. Yeah. So I flew a couple weeks ago. I'm flying again soon. Airport pat downs are now more intimate than ever before.
Yeah, they're doing a whole new pat down procedure, which is they're going to get up in your business.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't. But they're kind of getting into spots, into like your crotch region, and like they're really getting
up in there. Hey, if that's where people are hiding things
that
could cause drama to my flight.
True.
Or anybody else's flight for that matter, because I like people. I don't want anything bad to happen to people. Find it.
That's true. Yeah. Get it done now.
You want cavity searches? Okay.
I'll bring the gloves.
Yeah, I'm saying that a little bit flippantly, but to be quite honest, I didn't ever mind. And I'm always kind of a little bummed when I don't get to go through that machine.
The thing where they stand you. That's all I
circle,
see now.
The circular thing.
And they're supposed to see you naked or whatever. I don't care.
I've seen, because I've stood back because I'm a nerd and I've looked, not because I'm voyeuristic. I'm not that kind of a nerd, but I'm trying to see what they actually see.
Yeah.
It's a shadow. It's an outline of you.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I don't care. I'm like, whatever. What do you need from me to get me through onto that plane?
Yeah. My shoes
are off.
As quick
as possible.
My liquids are contained in a 1-quart bag.
Yeah.
They're over to the side.
Yeah. Whenever they're like, you need to search your
belt and phone are over in a bin.
Very
fine.
Yeah, how efficient are you?
Crazy efficient.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, no.
I love to hear that.
Well,
I hate the people who just kind of dawdle.
All right. So when my husband and I were dating, it was post September 11th, but we lived in separate cities. I lived here. He lived in Denver.
Oh.
I flew a lot. So I got really good at it. I mean, I know exactly what I'm wearing and I'm already in my head. I know what has to come off.
Yes.
While I'm going to the airport.
Yes. I triple check pockets just in case I don't have anything in them.
Nothing in them.
Yeah.
Liquids are in an outside pocket.
Yeah. I wear slip-ons.
Yeah. And the kids don't have to take their shoes off because now I've got the 9 and the 6-year-old. They don't. And sometimes we get over into a different family line just in case we're going to be
those people.
They
have that, right?
Yeah.
They have family nights. They have like quick businessman line.
They do. They do. And the family line is far better if you have a stroller and car seats and all that kind of stuff.
I enjoy that they have the family line only because
they pull them out of your way.
Yeah, I'm like, I know you guys are going to be slow, so move.
Maybe. I mean, if you have a stroller, and believe me, strollers are the way to go through the airport when you have littles. It's just, that's for sure. I don't need them anymore. I have a 9 and 6.
What about one of them backpacks where it's like a leash?
That actually does not bother me.
No.
But
did you ever have one?
You know what? Wait, that's not right. We had one that looked like a monkey.
Oh, yes.
And my son loved it and would carry the little leash thing around because it looked like his tail.
Oh.
But he just thought it was a stuffed animal. And he was a clingy little guy, so we never had to be worried about him running. But if you have a runner.
Yeah, those do crack me up.
Yeah, sometimes those kids are like.
Ugh. Yeah, because also I've seen little kids running around the airport and I'm like, come on. Guys, people are trying to get places. They could maybe get on a plane.
Why you need the stroller. So I like the stroller, but it does have to go through security. It goes through the x-ray. So you've got to break it down. And so the family line is wonderful because it puts those people off to the side so that there are people like you who are annoyed about revolving glass doors. They don't have to deal with
the family. I'm just annoyed that they're slow about it.
Well, this is maybe going to increase your time spent in security. The TSA's new pat-down procedure will be more thorough and may involve an officer making, I'm not kidding, more intimate contact than before. Employees at DIA, which is Denver International Airport, were told last week, according to Fox Denver.
Although I've never been patted down.
I have, and they typically use the back of their hand.
Okay.
I've gone through a lot of this because we'll go through with beverage for my daughter, or like when we were traveling with milk, just regular milk, because it's hella expensive at the airport, they would let you go through
with the
with a bottle and stuff. They would just test it.
They could what?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now they don't. Stuff. Now that the kids are a little bit older, we and this is fully legitimately accidental. Mm-hmm. We had a bottle of water in my son's bag that I threw in for the bus trip. This is when we were coming home from Disney. I was like, oh, bottle of water. He'd been sick when we were at Disney. Mm-hmm. Completely forgot. Completely forgot.
Now, did you just throw it out or did you chug it?
No, we threw it out.
I love those people. They're like, we have to save it. And they're just chugging it in the line.
I'm like, it's not, you know, we're not thirsty. He wasn't thirsty. Seriously, it's because he was ill. I had a bottle of water just in case he needed it. But the TSA won't specify exactly what the new standard pat down entails. But the agency did alert local police stations of the change in case passengers reported any abnormalities.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't understand.
So just take your shoes off.
Agents
to
will
take
be,
your belt off.
Agents won't be patting down any body parts not previously included in screening guidelines, but the pat-downs will likely be more invasive than what the average passenger is used to. If you've had unusual pat-down procedure screening type things, 312-981-7200, I've had my hands swabbed. They take
really?
Yeah, they take the again, because they're testing liquid. Mm-hmm. And so they're checking to make sure, I assume it is explosives, like trace
right.
amounts
yes.
of explosives.
Yes, yes, yes.
They've done the inside of my waistband.
Now, are these just random? Or how does that work?
I think,
or what was something fishy about you that
I'm very you? Sinister looking. no, I think a few of the times, but because I do fly enough where I think randomly you do get screened, but definitely with the kids, when we've flown with any liquid at all, they would grab Steve or I, my husband and I, they're like, one of you guys has to come with.
Oh, like I'm the like, kind okay. that's not like right. milk or whatever. Okay.
Exactly. And so even if it was sealed, they're like, no, come with us. They would let us through with it, but they tested it. They would swab it and make sure that it is not, it's not explosive.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been, knock on wood, I've been lucky enough that I don't have to do anything.
We were with my mom, and seriously, if you were going to pick a woman who is more nervous about this, it would be my mom. And they took her into a different room did like a whole pat down and a screening and everything. Kevin is on the line with us today. Kevin, you flew yesterday?
Yesterday, out of Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh.
All right. So that's a smaller airport.
Very small.
Okay. So how was security? Did they greet you by name and say thank you for visiting the fine state of North Dakota?
Yeah. Hey, for sure.
No, I got to do that to everyone.
I got everything.
Really?
I got my hands wiped. I had a heavy coat packed because it was supposed to be warmer here. It was 2 below out there.
Oh boy. Well, so it is technically warmer.
Yeah. So I had layers and sweatshirt and shirts and stuff underneath that. And they ended up doing the scan for the, you know, what you say, the shadows. And they could see extra stuff. So that started it. And then they swabbed my hands. Then they did the pat down. And he explained it very thoroughly about all the directions he's going to do and where he's going and had to go higher up into the funny place, and then they had to do the back, and he turns his hands the opposite way.
Sure, so it's the back of his hands?
Rubs it all down.
Okay.
Rubs it all down, does the scan on his hands, or his gloves and stuff, and my scan. And, but like I say, they were respectful of it.
All right, so now, this, is
when
this...
you're having a huge line at O'Hare Midway,
right.
I think it would be very, very cumbersome. And I would say they did profile a guy, which, God bless, I'm certainly glad they did.
Oh,
now, he
okay.
was all clean and all good. I got no problem with that. I'm sorry they have to profile, but it's for everyone's safety. And if you don't profile, then you're an idiot.
Well, if you're profiling for the right reasons, like that person looks shady, then I don't want them to do that. I want them to do the same intense screening for everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't mind.
Well,
I really don't mind.
Yeah, everyone, because you can't tell. There's no way to tell if anyone's anybody. So you just do everyone, so, just everybody.
I understand that. I fly kind of a lot for work, and I'll tell you what. I seen a older gentleman, probably 80s. He had one of the little Swiss Army knives that was maybe an inch long.
Right.
With the scissors and all of that on there. Mm-hmm. And the scissors are a half inch long.
Right.
And they're going round and round with this guy, wanting him to go back to his luggage and put it in there if he wanted to take it with him. He's not going to hijack the plane with the thing. He's probably a veteran in the first place. So why would you even start messing with him? But in the same token, I have seen them, you know, with the robes and all of that, and them screaming that, hey, why are you racially profiling me? And I told them, you know, God bless, you're doing a good job.
Right.
But, you know, and there again, they did pick one that looked like it could be something of that at the airport yesterday. And there again, if they're going to profile, that's fine. It's America, you know, and these people who look at it and say, oh, God, you know, you're profiling. Well, you know, it's not always the one you're thinking, but, you know, 9 chances out of 10, it is.
All right, Kevin, thank you for your call and welcome to Chicago, but appreciate you listening to WGN. I want everybody screened, because while Kevin was raising points about profiling, mm-hmm. you don't know who it is.
Well, I think it's, the fact that I agree. You're not sure who it could be. It could be a straight white male, or it could be
anybody,
brown, yellow, red.
Crazy hits all kinds.
Black, blue, it does not matter.
No, I don't ever mind being, have you had your luggage gone through like at the gate?
Yeah, or where they check it?
Yeah.
Because there's no more room?
No.
Or what do you mean?
I've had them screen my luggage at the gate, where they will actually grab random people who are sitting at the gate and go through your entire bag.
Oh, no.
Like any of your
carry-on.
That's
never happened.
I haven't seen it done in a really long time, but they used to have stations set up at gates when you would fly. And again, this is maybe 10 to 12 years ago. But yeah, they would be sitting there, and I would always jam as much as possible. And I'm like, people, if you open this bag, I don't know that I can get it back in. This is...
You're going to help me get it back in, guys.
I didn't check it for a reason, because it's likely overweight. I carry it on because I can handle it.
Right.
But I don't know when these are coming, when these are starting.
Well, like he said, they kind of went up a little further.
But maybe that's just a smaller.
I think North Dakota was just happy that there was people.
I agree.
And they're like, let's check everyone.
The change stems from a 2015 report that found TSA officials failed to stop weapons from passing through security, according to the LA Times. They also confiscated record numbers of weapons in recent months.
I just, you know, just check everyone. It's fine.
I don't care.
Just check everyone.
You want me there 3 hours early?
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, a little bit of a delay to prevent any sort of a crash.
Yeah, I'll go there fine. 6 hours ahead, because I love the food court.
I do not agree with you.
I like wandering the airports, and I get excited when I have layovers and things, because I'm like, ooh, we get to go like...
Depends on the airport.
Run around the airport.
Minneapolis, and I'm sure John Williams, who starts on Monday, he will be able to speak to this, but Minneapolis airport, lots to do.
I love it.
Orlando Airport, lots to do.
I love that. They
O'Hare?
Should do that.
Good.
I would want to just hang out in the airport. Don't even leave.
And it doesn't matter. Okay, so we've got 4 minutes.
Boars.
Talk about this. Boars.
Radioactive boars.
Fukushima, which was the reactor over in Japan that had the core issues. I actually watched a whole special on WTTW about this. It
for
did.
For the earthquake.
Right. And it failed. The safeties failed. The water's drained out. It wasn't able to cool itself. And so there's big issues. And all of those people have been evacuated for years now, except the boars have taken over. Wild boars.
Hundreds of toxic wild boars are roaming northern Japan.
And they're trying to eradicate this problem, exterminate those wild boars. Multitude of reasons. One, they want to move the people back in.
Mm-hmm. And they can?
Because the radiation in the air and in the ground is at levels within certain radiuses of the plant.
They're cool.
Enough. They're cool enough that they can start moving people back into their homes.
Okay.
However.
So these boars.
Are a delicacy.
Oh. So people want to eat them.
Yes. But they're radioactive.
What if they wore little collars that said, don't eat me, I'm radioactive?
I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to do it because maybe they could knock them off.
Oh, get rid of them?
They have to eradicate the radioactive boars.
Well, there aren't they doing, the boars aren't going to go away quietly, right? Aren't they?
They have to kill them.
But they're, no, but the boars are like, we're staying.
Well, I mean, they're boars. They're boarish. I mean, that's what, but that's why the word boarish means what it does.
Right, but they're standing their ground in the sense that they're, weren't they following people?
Yeah, I mean, they're protective of their land that they feel is their land. However, they're showing signs of radioactive poisoning 137, 300 times normal than safety standards.
Oh, boy.
Now, so they're actually hunting now these boars.
Okay.
They've hired teams of hunters to cull the boars. Not kill, cull.
Also, interesting.
Also kill.
So they can't just keep them around.
No. No. And I didn't see this in the article, but you and I discussed this. What if they breed? I don't know that they can. I don't know that they're able to.
Yeah, they have radioactive baby boars.
Then we have like three-eyed boars.
Three-eyed boars. I mean, what would, I'm just wondering, like, are they emanating radioactivity?
I don't think is they're that glowing. Why? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And like, if you look at them or touch them, they're going to give you radioactivity.
One, you're absolutely right. Because they are radioactive, they would then expose others who are around them to that radioactivity.
Because I was thinking, I'm like, are they just worried people are going to eat them?
No. Well, yeah, that's a big portion of it.
They can't just be like, hey, don't eat these boars. We have good boars over here.
I don't know that they can necessarily risk it. And then what if one of them dies randomly, and then now you have radioactivity that's decomposing into the soil? So I think that they really have to get... They've brought in hunters.
Right, but then they hunt them, and then where do they go? You know what I mean?
Based on what I've been seeing about other things that they're handling at this plant, I'm sure that they have a disposal area for them. Esmeralda...
This was nice.
It was nice. It was a power hour of Esmeralda Leon and Hannah Stanley.
It's Hannah Stanley.